Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 and 9, number 6 on the board. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Someday there's going to be a time of reaping the things we have sown in this life. And in the book of Timothy, Paul talks about how some people live in the last days. And I want us to think about how we live. And someday we're going to reap what we have sown in this life. And how Paul says the last days will come, how some people will live, but we don't want to live that way. And so tonight we should talk about basic Christianity. Now we know we don't believe in divorce and remarriage. We don't believe in adultery. We don't believe in fornication. But what about just basic things about what we believe? And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which loves of money, boasters. I know I got it on the board. Have you ever seen much boasting? It's so sad. It's condemned so strong in the Bible about what you know, where you've been, what you got. Boasters, proud, blasphemers or abusers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. People refusing to bury their own dead. Truce breakers, which means unforgiving. False accusers, incontinent, without self-control. People that are fierce. Despising of those that are good. Traitors, heady or headstrong, high-minded, which is prideful. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. So all these things he mentions here, these people, these things, he says, they have a form of godliness. But denying the power of love from such turn away. So having a form of godliness. Basic Christianity. Number one, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, Paul says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How strong are you in the Lord? Be strong in the Lord. He said, well, preacher, that is my rock. That is what I lean on completely. My strength, everything I've got, everything, every fiber of my body, I am strong in the Lord. I mean, I rest on it completely. There's no two ways about it. I am strong in the Lord. That's what he said to be throughout the Bible. God has always had a theme. And you know what it was? You can count on me. Always. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in what you can do. I can do it. Is anything too hard for God to do? Always, you can count on me. And friends, I'm counting on him. Tell you, I want you to count on him. Be strong in the Lord. The Bible says also in Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. The psalmist David also says, Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's law is perfect. It converts our soul. It changes our life. I remember at this speaker when Brian graduated from high school, he said, I can say it close, what he said. He said, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Do we feel like we've grown? That we're not what we used to be? Are you where you want to be at this stage of your life? Be strong in the Lord. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. His strength came from God. He knew that. Through him I could do all things, whatever it was, whatever he was facing in this life. He could do it. And friends, hand in hand with that is trust in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, some powerful words that Solomon said here. Verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, oh boy. We think we've arrived, don't we? We think we've got it understood. No, we're a long way from it. He said, don't lean on your own understanding. You trust in the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Always give him credit. People this day, they'll have Christmas time and they'll talk about what Santa Claus brought. What the Easter Bunny left. You ever heard that? You going to tell your kids that? Now, you don't tell your kids a man come down the chimney and left them presents. You ain't going to give God credit for it at all, huh? You think they're going to believe that? Do you really? Well, they're going to win it a little. Is that not sad? Is that not sad? You don't tell your kids a lie? Well, I'm a preacher with, you know, that's just, well, why would you tell them that? My mama never told me that. No? Say, well, she's kind of backwards. Well, maybe she was. She wasn't telling no Santa Claus and no Easter Bunny. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, give him credit. Everything, for everything you've got, you give God credit for it. Friends, you couldn't do it if it wasn't for God. You couldn't even get out of bed, like that lady said that day. And y'all may have heard me say that, but Sue and I was eating in a restaurant one time over in Georgia, I don't know, several years ago. And this lady there, she may have even been in her 90s. And she was with a young lady in her maybe 20s. So they're sitting right next to us because we can hear them talking. And the young lady starts to leave. She says to the older lady, she said, have a good day. And the older lady said this to her, honey, any day you can get out of bed is a good day. I said, amen to that. The student. Any day you can get out of bed is a good day. Acknowledge him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Comes from that boasting, isn't it? You don't know what I know. No, I don't care about what you know. Tell me what the book says. I need to know what the book says. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I never read that in a book before. It says that in Proverbs sure does, don't it? Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Trust in the Lord. You know, Paul spoke about 2 Timothy chapter 1 in some very powerful words. Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." I know whom I believe in, Paul said. I know about whom I believe in. And I'm also persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. So these things I have sown, someday I'm going to reap them because the Lord has kept them. Because judgment day, it shall be known. That's right. That day. I know who I believed in. I know he will keep that I've committed to him. Friends, you may go down to the bank. You may commit your money to them. And they may say, "Well, we never lost a dime here." Well, they may lose your dime and my nickel and whatever else they may lose it. You don't know. If it ain't there, it ain't there. But the things you put treasure in heaven. What you store, what you send ahead. Like that man said, you can't take it with you, you can send it on ahead. Paul said, I've committed to him because the judgment day, I'm going to be judged for my life. Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13 and 11, be perfect. Be perfect means be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about how things were going on in his life. So many things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You feel like your life's like that sometimes? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death working in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. I'm not throwing in the towel. You going to throw in the towel? So I ain't throwing in the towel, preacher. I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. For which cause Paul said, we faint not, although our outward man perish. He says, my body is perishing. I know it. Me and you both know that. Mine is perishing. He's doing it. And Paul said, ours is perishing too. Yet, the inward man is renewed day by day, and I believe you can relate to that too, because you realize as you're getting closer to the grave, you're getting closer to God. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Closer to the Lord. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is getting stronger. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and that's where our life is. This life down here, it's just for a moment compared to eternity. But for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Trouble on every side, but we still trust in God. Trust in the Lord. And friends, don't think of yourself too highly. Don't do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like you to notice carefully what he says here. In verse 7, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why does that glory as if thou hast not received it? Let me read you. Why are you puffed up? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And since all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great as though you earned it on your own? Who makes you lift one another? Don't think highly of yourself. In Luke chapter 18, it's read about two men. In verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You know what a publican was? He was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government. He was a Jew, usually, and he was despised because usually they were crooks. They would skim off some of the taxes they collected for their sales. And so they were despised of the Jews. So, this Pharisee says, I'm not as this publican over here. I fast twice in a week. Hear me, Lord? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, boy. Sounds pretty good, don't it? He's not a sorcerer. He's a crook. He's not that. He's not an unjust. He doesn't commit adultery. I fast twice in a week. And all I have, I give tithes of all I have. And the publican, tax collector, standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. What do you see in that? You see humility in that, don't you? God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's read that again. Please, listen to this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than who? Publican did, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Is that not plain, or is that not plain? Don't think highly of yourself. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So Paul was very plain when he said that. Think soberly about yourself. Don't think highly of yourself. Don't get the big head. Just because God has blessed you a lot. Think soberly. Don't boast. Please, please, please don't boast. Long ago, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4, James chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Go to now, James 4 and 13. Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He says in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Sue and I, we went the other day to visit some graves of our family, to find some graves of our family that we found out through this picture I told y'all about the other day that we've got, to find the graves over in Wetumpka and Hallis and all. And Sue said, says, how many of these graves that are never visited anymore? People don't know about them. And one day, if this world stands, your grave, my grave will be the same way. No one will visit your grave. They won't remember you. They will not remember anything about you. Have you ever thought about why you know the apostles? Because they've been with Jesus. Absolutely. That's why we know about the apostles. That's why we know about them, because they had been with Jesus. Other people lived in that time. We know that. We know nothing about who they were, nothing about their life. But we know about the apostles because they had been with the Lord. And so someday we will be not remembered, because family members will all be passed away too, and no one will know about us. And I think it shows us there how important it is to be ready to meet our Lord, because we're not going to stay here. Not going to do it. We're all going. We're all going. For that you ought to say, he said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If it's the Lord will. You ever hear somebody say that? If the Lord will, we will do this or that. So don't boast. Work, work, work. I was raised, my daddy worked at the bakery. I guess from early childhood, mama's home. And I was raised by a mother that believed in work. She believed out of mine was the devil's workshop. Nothing else to do. I remember pulling up weeds in the backyard. That was her thing. I remember telling her, a lot of y'all didn't know my mother, and Sue never knew her when I was young, and Sue was surprised what Mama used to tell me when I told her this. Renee, our daughter, is too. I remember what Mama used to say, because I was a young boy. Mama said, get to work. I said, Mama, I'm tired. And this is what she'd say. I don't know how many times I've heard this. What, you tired of living because you ain't done the work? I mean, that was a pat answer to me being tired. What are you tired of living because you hadn't done any work? And Sue, glad she said, that don't sound like your mother. I said, well, you got to realize I'm a 6, 7, 8-year-old boy. And that's probably my excuse. But she really didn't work. When I got to be 12, I got me a little paper route, selling grit paper. You probably never heard of the grit, but I used to sell the grit, and I could sell the Alabama Journal when I got a little older and got a job in the grocery store. So, work was just part of your life. It worked. Like I say, everything's done around the house in the yard, you start pulling up weeds. Them little iron weeds, we call them. I don't see them much anymore. That's what we call them, iron weeds, because it's hard to pull out. Back in Genesis 3:19, it said, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. God said that. In the sweat of your face you're going to eat bread. So we know back from that time, man has had to work. Well, what is an infidel? Well, I don't believe in God, preacher. Is anything worse than an infidel? What can be worse than a person that doesn't believe in God? Boy. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this. If any provide not for his own, talking about your own self. Okay? If any provide not for his own, and especially For those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse. Worse than an infidel? You mean to tell me if I don't provide for myself? I'm not talking about people who's not able to provide. Now, you see people like that, they're not able to provide for themselves. They're unable to work. Friends, this is the serious thing we're going to talk about. I mean, all this is. But when you start talking about something that's worse than an infidel, how much serious can it get? How much worse can it get than that? You know what it had in the paper? Not long ago, a couple of years ago, had these pictures of these men in the paper. They weren't paying child support. They wanted by the law. And you know what the article said above them? I was shocked. Have you seen these dogs? That's what it said. I'm serious. In the newspaper. Have you seen these dogs? That's right. That's what he had. Bold print. We're looking for them. They're not supporting their family. Didn't call them men. No, sir. I just saw it one time. But it was in the newspaper. It had their pictures. The little Palestine Tribune, the little paper that we, House is where men's is from. And every week is in there where the people got pictures where they give worthless checks. They have them there every week in a little paper. We get it still. Work! Well, let's read some more about this. In 1 Thessalonians 4, this is involved. I don't know if you know that or not. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's read 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10 first. 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter, verses 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Okay? So if you're not going to work, no food. Hey, no. You can't eat. You're not working, you can't eat. But we hear, Paul said, that there are some which walk among you disorderly. And we're going to see in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to talk about disorderly. Working not at all, but are busy by it. You know that? People that don't work a lot of time, they got a big mouth. Not all. But they do a lot of talking. I don't know why they talk so much, but he said they're busybodies. They don't work at all. They're busybodies. Now let's look back to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you have lack of nothing. Out of the ear, you study to be quiet, you do your own business, and you work with your own hands, and you study to be quiet. Now, let's turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this time we're going to start reading at verse 6. And friends, what we're going to read you now is a direct reference to those that refuse to work. This is what this is going to be about. You might be surprised. You may have read this. You might be surprised what it says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. What is walking disorderly? What did we just read to you a while ago? What's walking disorderly? Verse 11, he tells you, we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but a busybody. And so he says, we hear there are some among you that are walking disorderly, And he says, you withdraw yourself from them. Boy, we just read the man that wants to support, care for his own, and says those house is worse than what? An infidel. Now Paul says here, the son that won't work, they're walking disorderly. Withdraw yourself. What's it mean? That you can't help them. No, sir. No. You can't give to them. You got to withdraw yourself from them. You cannot help them. You can't help a man more help yourself. We know that. But why can't you? He'll never get any better. And friends, we live in a wonderful world. Wonderful country. God has blessed America. You can work. You're able to work. You can work. You can find a job. Like I said last night, it might be not what you want to. But you can work. And you must work. Long ago, God said, in the sweat of your face, you're going to eat your bread. If you don't provide for yourself, especially over your house, you deny the faith. Worse than an infidel. Look at this very carefully, brother. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, or we worked among you. Look what he said in verse 8. Paul says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. We pay for it. That's what he said. If you give us bread, we bought it from you. But wrought with labor and travail night and day. Paul said, I worked day and night. He was out preaching though for them, wasn't he? He's going to tell you about that too. That we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, he said. Paul said, we could have took your money. We could have took your bread. We had power to do that. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Paul said, we did it so you would realize that you have got to work. Now, this was a problem of that day. And that's why he said it also in 1 Thessalonians and also in 2 Thessalonians. Why he said it to Timothy too, of people not working. And brother, let me tell you what, you cannot give to them. He tells you right here, you're going to be partaker of his sins. He says that also in Timothy. Don't be partaker of another man's sin. And this is sin if you won't work. There's no other way to put it. It's sin if you won't work. Just look at this. Now what we read earlier, let's read it again. But even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own meat. And I'm telling you now, you tell them they got to go to work. You command them, you tell them that. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He says, you keep on working. You don't quit working. You keep on at your work. Don't quit working. It's pretty plain, isn't it? In the sweat of your face, you're going to eat your bread. And we must work. And we must not support people that will not work and are able to work. The Bible never talks about helping people that are able to help themselves. You have people that are in need, that are unable to help themselves. And that's the Christian way, brethren. Why would we not want to work as a Christian? Why don't we want to do these things? We should always want to do these things. And then we're going to reap what we sow. Surely we are. It's going to come a reckoning day. We're going to give an account of our lives. And what you and I have done down here, have we been strong in the Lord? Are you strong in the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord? Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Don't think highly of yourself. never boast. If you think you are, just quit talking. Okay? You might say, well, it's not boasting. Well, you may think it is, but that's just a quit. Don't boast. Work. They need work. The Bible teaches work throughout the ages of time. And friends, in our society today, many times people just won't work. They're able to work. But friends, that's not the Christian way. He said, if you don't provide for yourself, especially those in your own house, you're worse than an infidel. And that's about as bad as it. Well, I guess that's as bad as it is. Worse than an infidel. We think nothing worse than that. Paul says it is. I trust tonight these things that we have brought to your attention will be beneficial to you. Read your Bible. Study God's Word. Be ready when death comes on you. We serve such a wonderful God. Friends, we have so many blessings. So many things to be thankful for. I love living in America. I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful for my leaders. I am. The Bible says, pray for the king. You pray for your king. Don't be criticizing your president, things like that. You pray for him. That's what he needs your prayer. You pray for your policemen, your sheriffs, and those that have authority over you. You pray for those people. That's right. God has blessed us so much. What a wonderful Father we serve. And friends, we can be ready when Jesus Christ comes back. Tonight we're going to sing a song of invitation, we call it. It's the time that we set aside to give everyone here tonight an opportunity to either be baptized or to come back and confess their faults and ask for prayer and forgiveness. If you're not a member of the church tonight, please come to be baptized. On the day of Pentecost, as Peter preached that day, he convinced those people of what they had done was sin. And they asked a good question. Men and brothers, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You can't undo what you've done, but you get forgiveness of what you've done. I remember when I was baptized, I was 9 years old. That's been a long time ago. Still remember, though, that time. Baptized. What a happy day. What a happy day. You may remember, too, that day you were baptized, when you were born again. And like Yvonne said, she said, I met my Lord in the water. I like that statement, what she said about that. I met my Lord in the water. She come out of the water of the grave of baptism. And she rose to walk in newness of life. And you remember that, too. Tonight you can be born again. You can be baptized tonight. Come to the front when we're singing. And all we're going to ask you to say is that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's all you got to say. You ain't got to come in here and confess your faults. Go up here and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. That's it. Now, I'll say it for you first. You say it for yourself. And we'll baptize you tonight for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a member of the church, think seriously about your status tonight with the Lord. Have you lived for Him? Have you lived for Him? Why don't you come back tonight if you haven't? Come back tonight. Just swallow your pride. Don't think too highly of yourself. We're just people. Come back tonight. Confess your faults. Come back tonight and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Ask for prayer. We will pray with you and for you. Why don't you come together? We stand and we sing.